This is the Pacifica National Board meeting. It's on June 8th, 2007. I'm Sarah Brandawa. I'm the acting chair of the board. Our permanent chair, Dave Adelson, is on leave of absence, and he will be back on July 22nd and thereafter. Our secretary is Mary Berg, and our agenda today is approximately an hour and a half for the public session, followed by an executive session of about an hour and a half duration. That'll be closed to the public. The first thing we need to establish is a quorum, and Madam Secretary, would you take the roll call, see if we have the quorum?
Rip Robbins.
Present.
A.C. Byrd.
Here.
Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Rob Robinson.
Here.
Thomas Ruffin.
Here.
Lisa Davis. Ray LaForest. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Berthold Reimers. Evelyn Bethune. Sandra Rawline. Sorry. Wendy Schrell, you say not here until she won't be here, is that correct? Michael Woodson?
Here.
Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Don White?
Here.
Mary Berg, present. Chandra Halpin?
Here.
Sarv Randhawa?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
Margaret Prescott? Margaret Prescott.
Here. Margaret.
Thank you. Lori Taguma. Okay. Mr. Chair, I would like to request that we somehow put out that when people come on the call that they announce their name. Otherwise, I have to interrupt the meeting. Some people have been upset about that. And otherwise, I would just mark them absent. So, those that are not here are not going to do it, but can we make that some kind of a special rule that when the people come on the phone, no matter when, that they announce themselves clearly?
This is Ray.
Ah, Ray, great. Okay, that's the first.
Thank you, Madam Secretary, and I'll request the board
Mr. Chair, can that be a rule that we establish so that everybody knows it for this meeting and any other, that anyone that comes on the call, so that it can go into the
record? Is there any objections to what our secretary is asking for?
It's a special
so when people
group.
Come on the call, they announce themselves so that she doesn't have to go and try to find out.
No, but can we move the agenda, Mr. Chair?
Thank you. If there's no objection, then that's what we'll do. All right. In addition to our board directors, we have present with us our executive director, Greg Guma, our chief financial officer, Lonnie Hicks, and our foundation counsel, Dan Siegel. Our first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Madam Secretary, do you have minutes that you want to be approved?
I'm sorry. I had sent out a copy before, but I didn't send a new copy. All that we did in the public session that was to set the date of the next meeting, but I don't know if anyone. I was remiss in not resending those, so people may not even remember about it. So.
And that's not on your. Mr. Chair, that's not on your published.
It's not on
agenda.
The agenda. Yeah.
And I move to adopt the agenda.
Okay. I had it there, roll call and approval of minutes, if available. And they're not available, so that goes.
Well, they're not.
The next item is reports. Hello? The next is reports.
How about adoption of the agenda?
Oh, thank you. There's a motion to adopt the agenda. Is there a second?
Second the motion.
All right.
Who was that, please?
Motion to.
The second?
Rob Robinson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Is there any objection to adopting the agenda? None. The agenda is adopted. Next item on the agenda is motion regarding Mumia Abu Jamal. And that was put forth by... Thank you. That was put forth by Margaret Prescott, our director from KPFK.
I would like to second the motion.
All right. Motion has been seconded.
If it's in order to do at this time.
Ambrose, did you second it?
No, that was Chandra.
Chandra did.
Chandra seconded.
Oh, you moved the approval. Okay. All right.
Yes.
So the motion has been seconded. And any objection to adopting this motion? Yes, Ray, go ahead.
Since this is a public session, maybe Margaret could summarize the motion so people know what we're voting on.
Okay. All right, Margaret, would you go ahead and take a little time and explain to us?
Yes. This is a resolution in support of a new trial for Mumia Abu Jamal. Many people out there know that he has been on death row since 1982 allegedly for the murder of a white police officer. What a lot of people don't know is that he is an award-winning journalist. And at the time of his arrest, he was known for his journalism on police abuse and on corruption. There is new activity happening on the case on May 17, 2007. The U.S. Court of Appeals, the Third Circuit in Philadelphia, heard arguments requesting a new trial for Mumia on such constitutionally important issues as due process, equal protection under the law, and racism in jury selection. If Mumia does win a new trial, it really would be the first time that he would have an opportunity to give his version of what has happened during the first trial, given the racism of the judge and the bias of the court. Mumia did not think it would be useful at that particular time. Basically, the many people may have heard about the racism that happened during the trial, but this is internationally known. About 150 very prominent attorneys in the UK wrote a letter to the court asking that this be investigated and there be some kind of action on the court in terms of the jury selection. Also, the judge overseeing the court was heard by a stenographer saying that he would help us, quote, fry the nigger. And this is a judge who had been responsible for putting more people on death row than any other judge in the U.S. So there's more information, but I won't take the time of the board now since we have a lot of pressing matters. So I will just read the final part that says, whereas the local station board of Pacifica Radio's KPFK passed a resolution in support of a new trial for Mumia, and I wanted to mention that as well. Therefore, be it resolved that the National Board of Pacifica Radio supports a new trial for Mumia Abu Jamal. We encourage all Pacifica stations and affiliates to cover this new phase in the case of Mumia Abu Jamal and movements in support. And this language of the resolution was counsel. I had asked counsel to take a look at it to make sure that the language was okay for our board to pass, and he said he didn't see anything in the resolution that would prohibit passage of the resolution. I really Chandra and Ray and other members of the board who have contacted me about supporting this resolution and seconding the resolution, and also to remind everybody that this resolution is different. You also should have gotten from me a journalist's letter in support of a new trial for Mumia Abu Jamal, which we are asking journalists to sign on individually and just to give their affiliation as an ID. This is different than this. This is a resolution specifically coming from Pacifica National Board. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, there's any objection to adopting the motion and adopting this resolution in support of a new trial for Mumia Abu Jamal?
There's no objection? This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
I just want to very briefly say that I applaud this motion, and I think it's kind of the fitting conclusion to what's been perhaps 15 years of really consistent reporting by several Pacifica stations, particularly WBAI on his case, and including at our station weekly broadcasts of his radio commentaries. And I know there's other stations that play them as well, as does from time to time Free Speech Radio News. So it's time that the National Board really took a stand in support of the work that some of our programmers have been doing for a long time.
Thank you, Bob. Anyone else? If no one else, if no objections to this, this resolution is adopted. Our next item on the agenda is ED report. And it's scheduled for 10 minutes. And ED has already submitted a fairly extensive report. So I think that Greg, if you can summarize it, and then in one-third the time, and maybe two-thirds the time if other board members might have any questions for that. Go ahead, Greg.
Bert Oramus here.
Hi, Bert.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, Bert.
I'll start with, for those who are listening on the stream, and just to summarize what's in the report, I'll just go through the highlights. Concerning the digital distribution project, I've reported on where we advertise and the applications we've gotten. And at this point, Rob Robinson's application is by far the most comprehensive, clear, and on point. Application we've received, and we received about 11 of them. Most were not really very responsive to our proposal. It's really time to make a decision on that, and so it's my intention to begin negotiating with Rob, and he's also submitted a timeline relating to the work that would be done. On the HR director, we received a lot of applications. We've done a couple of interviews. And now the personnel committee is becoming interested in helping me to do a temporary hire. And I believe there'll be an interview next Tuesday with the current candidate to be hired on a temporary basis so that the posting can continue over the summer months for a permanent hire. And next week we'll begin to interview candidates for the administrative assistant position, and we have a lot of applicants for that as well. And that position, by the way, really does service the entire staff in Berkeley, and the vast majority of the work relates to development and finance. And so Lonnie and Phil Osigeda are involved in those interviews and will be jointly making the decision with me. I've circulated a tentative agenda at SARB's request for the July meeting, and I just want to draw your attention to the decisions that need to be made the sooner the better about how the board chooses to spend its time on Friday during the day, on the thematic discussion that for Saturday, and if we have a second focus station, what that station should be. The first focus station would obviously be KPFK. Concerning Democracy Now!, we've begun those negotiations as well. But this is a complex negotiation, and we have a rather large team. And so I'm recommending that the board consider delegating two members of that team to pursue this for a variety of reasons. I think it would be more effective and efficient to do it that way, we can discuss this either in open or in executive session as you choose. Beyond that, there are three new affiliates, which I mentioned in the report, from Ohio, Wisconsin, and Tennessee. So we continue to expand the network. And finally, on the issue of the obscenity policy, the Programming Committee, as many people know, have been involved in reviewing that. We have had, this new case that is to some extent very helpful, but it doesn't resolve the issue. And I've followed up with John Kriegler on this, and he had suggested a couple of ways in which we could now begin potentially to take a more proactive position. The FCC may invite public comment, and that's one thing we could obviously do. But in addition, we could take a stand on principle in broadcasting potentially Ulysses, which has been broadcast on WBAI in the past as part of a Bloomsday show that's done in New York. It might be there might be a complaint, but we could time it so that the controversial materials in the safe harbor period, and it would make a symbolic statement. This was actually suggested by John Kriegler, our FCC attorney, and I've preliminarily discussed it with Janet Coleman in New York, and she sees that it might not be feasible to do it on the 16th due to scheduling conflict, but certainly within a day or so of then, if we chose to take that stand. But I did want to bring it up with the board because there is the potential, at least, that there could be a response. But if you're looking for a way to become more proactive, this is one opportunity. And also, John is ready to begin developing a training program on obscenity and profanity standards. And after the staff meeting next week, we will discuss the timing of that, which can happen in the near future. Those are the highlights of the report. And if you have any questions, I'm here.
Thank you. I would seek a little assistance here. Could somebody keep track of time? Thomas, you're a good timekeeper there. Could you keep track of time here for everybody to speak 2 minutes?
I have
sure.
a question.
Yeah, I can do that.
All right. And also, when we go to the motions, if somebody makes motions, is there anybody who keeps track of the people who want to speak? Bob, you do that?
I could do that.
Mr.
All
Chair,
right.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Hi, Sandra.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know I'm sorry I'm late, but I am on the call.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, questions for Greg. We have only a few minutes, and please go ahead.
Chandra.
Don White.
Am I recognized?
Go ahead, Chandra.
Okay. Greg and Dan Siegel, I was wondering, we had talked about call to action and a revised policy being drafted. Has any attention been paid to that? Anything come out of it?
I haven't seen anything myself. I haven't had the opportunity to talk with the program director at KPSA. This is not a national policy. This is a local station policy.
It was my understanding, as per the board meeting, when it was discussed in Washington, that a policy was going to be drafted and then distributed nationwide.
That
maybe I'm incorrect about that.
I don't recall that, and it hasn't happened.
Dan, can you speak to that?
Yeah. Well, the only thing I can say is that no one has requested my assistance in reviewing or developing such a policy.
The board did in Washington.
Let him speak.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I mean, I guess it was not my understanding that the board was asking me to take any action independent of working with the management of KPFA, and the management of KPFA has not, to my knowledge, begun to develop a new policy, nor is it asked for my support. Now, if you'd like me to be involved, if the board would like me to take action or to do something about this independently of what management at one of the stations is doing, I'm happy to do so.
Can I make such a motion? Would it be appropriate at this time to make such a motion?
Okay, go ahead.
Is
there any objection to looking into it rather than passing all the motions here? Is there a way to, Dan, can you look at that, where we are in the development of it?
Sure. I mean, if you want me to, I'm happy to be in touch with Lem Rio and Sasha at KPFA and try to find out what the status of it is and offer my input.
And could you report back at our next meeting here, our board meeting?
Of course.
Okay.
Thank
Would that
you.
Satisfy you, Chandra?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. Don?
Yeah, just a very quick question, and maybe I'm the only one not totally aware. Greg, have the full, comprehensive, and complete surveys and evaluations around ADA compliance at all five stations been completed, and have they been distributed?
That's a good question. We have not received the final three reports from our consultant at this point. I've followed up with her a couple of times, urging her to get this done as quickly as possible. Told her that we were expecting her to report at the July meeting, and at this point I have not heard from her. She has said that she's had some personal issues and that have gotten in the way. I think perhaps some of them health-related, but I've been unsuccessful in getting her to file those reports at this point.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. I will inform the board, and Dan, this is not a criticism of you because I know you've been tenacious here. I will say that in the KPFK signal area, there's a growing concern that this first attempt, which now has covered two or three years, has not resulted in the kind of results that we had anticipated. And I'm not going to say more about that, except I think it is very, very strange, to say the least, that after a multi-year effort, we still are hanging without three reports, and the two that have come in seem to be pretty inadequate.
It hasn't been 3 years, Don. I do want to correct the record on that. Was initiated 1 year ago. Well, 15 months ago, something of that nature, in the winter or early spring of last year. So it's 1 year, or more or less, but I'm not satisfied either.
Well, didn't Ambrose initiate that, or was that you?
No, that was Ambrose. Ambrose wrote the contract, or at least signed the contract, but it really didn't take effect until the spring of last year.
Well, in what year did Ambrose sign the contract?
December 2005.
Actually, October of 2005, October 31st.
Yeah. Well, I stand slightly corrected.
But I was not aware of that contract. It wasn't really presented to me until February of 2006, so I wasn't really aware that a contract existed until I met with Francie, which was toward the end of February.
I see. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, the time is up.
Oh, thank you very much, and our time is up. Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you for your report. Our next report is our Chief Financial Officer, Lonnie Hicks. Go ahead, Lonnie, for 10 minutes. So speak about 3-4 minutes, and people have questions they can ask.
Fine. I just will make 2 or 3 points. My report is been sent to the board, so I won't repeat it. And let me just go through the finance report or components first. We had several stations have bad drives, and the impact of that has into put us $333,000 away from our budget on projection to September 30th. We still have two stations yet to go into drive, so that picture is still a bit fuzzy. If they have drives that prove difficult, that number may increase. $333,000 is a tough number, and the managers are looking at it. They're making their plans about how they can recoup those funds. But right now, it is something the board should be aware of. The second point is budgets are underway, and we're behind in our budget timetable. At this point, if you look at the budget timetable, and I'll send it out again, but we have it. At this point, the budget timetable, we should be working with draft budgets. And those budgets should have gone through the LSBs. At this point, I have no draft budget for the period beginning June 1st. And it is during this period between the 1st and the 30th that the draft budget, with input from the LSBs, with input from the GMs, is going to be compiled. And by the end of this month, the end of June, that is to say 3 weeks from now, I'll compile the network draft budget to send it out. Right now, we're 3 weeks to 30 days behind, and I'm pushing out. We met with some folks once on their budget, but we still don't have the draft budget in hand. And my understanding is that in most cases, it's in the hands of the LSC. And another factor, of course, is with a bad drive in this fiscal, you would even have to look at the draft budget for next year, because that may revise your revenue figures, and it may have to be revised down. The other major point is there are plans to somehow look at new revenue initiatives. Board passed an RFP, which we called for national office and the network to develop a program, a grant program, to encourage creative ideas for revenue. And the one that I'm working on right now is planning.
Evelyn. Oh,
thank you. It turns out that almost all stations have anniversaries coming up over the next 5 years. The idea is to produce fundraising program in each of the next 5 years, rotating through the stations. February would be first, and they're planning a December 15th gala, which would be a dinner, tentatively called the Peace and Justice Awards Dinner. And it is a fundraiser. In this case, they're looking for money for this capital campaign in order to purchase a building of their own. And the hope is to raise somewhere between $175,000 and $225,000. In the new Washington Capitol Convention Center, the budget is done. I've been working with the LSB, the board and the chair, and AC and Ron Pinchback and several members on their board. So we're still in the planning stage. Nothing is yet written in stone, but we are gathering that information. And that is something I'm recommending to the board, that we, each of the next 5 years, have each station be the host for an annual fundraiser of something, and that that be accompanied as a celebration that all the stations would participate in by holding at their sites what we call our major donor parties in connection with the main sort of dinner that will be held in the host city. Finally, other financial items that bear notating are legal expenses. We continue to watch legal expenses, and my report, I guess, in July, I think I'll have a compendium of legal expenses, working with our attorneys, what they might be for the remainder of this fiscal and for next fiscal. And finally, the election committee has made some recommendations, which Finance Committee Chair Lamar will probably bring to us. But it is an additional expense. The board should be aware of it. Anyway, that would be my report for period.
Thank you.
Bob?
Any questions?
Is Ray?
We'll make a stack.
Is Ray?
Lavarne.
Rob.
Ray?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I know you brushed on the situation, the reality on the ground in terms of the fundraising. I know the BAI had some difficulties. Can you elaborate on some of the stations, particularly the WBAI, an evaluation of what's going on, and what are some of the plans that they're looking at that you alluded to increase revenue?
Yeah, WBI's drive had a goal of 900,000, and they were able to raise about 631,000. That placed them considerably short, $270,000 or so. There was a plan B for WBAI. WBAI has a history of having difficulty on some drives, so the plan B was in place. Plan B, to make up shortfalls on the on-air drive, is to have two mail drives of 125,000 using mostly acquisition mailing, and it would be regional mailings, not just in the tri-state area. And that has gone out, and we're starting to see money come in from the WBAI regional mail, 125,000. And it dropped 8 days ago. and we're starting to see money come through the door. The anticipation of $60,000-$70,000 will come from this initial mailing and another mailing in September. And so some of that $270,000 will be made up with the two mailings. The third part of the plan is that the summer drive, right? What has happened at I is that while they've had shortfalls in either the October or the December drives, they have done quite well with community events and the summer drive. So we'll see if the remaining funds could be recouped that way.
LeBron?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the report, Mike. I need someone to I need people to mute their phones, please. Thank you. Sounds like wonderful applause.
Yes, it does.
Just that, thank you for the report, Liney. Just a couple of things I think that Ray had touched on, just the shortfall in the fund drive at BAI. And I guess the other question is that we had initially talked in finance about mail drops from the national office and perhaps sending some funds to BAI. And at one time we thought perhaps T, but T had a wonderful drive. Congratulations. So are we still, I mean, is that still also an option? Or the other question is, are there, other than looking at the mail drops and perhaps some of the off-air fundraising that we talked about last night, what other actions can we take at BAI to address some of the issues that have resulted in this almost $300,000 shortfall in fundraising? I mean, perhaps Greg and Liney, Greg can actually talk some about that. And the other thing was the election committee. I think we've done a brief, we looked at in terms of what the potential cost would be, the exposure, and it kind of varied from anywhere from like maybe $4,500 to maybe, I don't know, it's at maybe twice that amount or $10,000. So that would be the range in terms of, we thought perhaps in bringing on the local election supervisors at an earlier date. So, Greg or Liney, can you just touch on what other efforts are being done at BAI that addresses the issue that really caused the $300,000 shortfall in fundraising?
Liney, do you want me to start, or would you like to?
You mean financial issues, or do you mean Plan C, something like that? I mentioned three things that are in the works. Beyond that, I'm not sure. Sure, they may have to look at reducing expenses. That's always on the table. That is never off the table. And as I said before, that also means that you have to look at next year's budget differently, too. And that would be the same for KPFA as well. They had a shortfall of $120,000. If W and K and their drives have difficulties, that will be serious for the network. A four station having difficulties in the drive would be unprecedented, and it would be serious for us. And I would be back to this board and make the strongest kinds of recommendations both to the stations and to the board about what we need to do. So right now we have a two-station problem, and if it expands to a four-station problem, then that indeed, in my view, would be serious. Now, what can be done? We will have to look at reducing expenses. Of course, there's not much you can do in a given fiscal with only 5 months to go. But we would still have to plan beyond the end of the fiscal and do an 18-month plan, which we've talked about in finance, because we'd have to look at a recovery plan that would cover the next 18 months. So that is in my report. I do give five or six options, good idea section, bad idea section. It's laid out there.
I'll just add a little bit to that. I mean, the question that you're asking is, why is this happening? And, of course, obviously, people have different opinions about that. But I think at this point, I mean, this is New York we're talking about, but I think that the same could probably be said about some of the other stations as well, is that in the end, you have to ask if the listeners are not responding, whether the programming is really appealing enough to the listeners. And one of the things that I discussed with Robert Scott Adams, was the idea that, you know, we might begin on a temporary basis looking at some of the best programs that exist throughout the rest of the Pacifica network, which might be tested in New York, to send a message to the listeners in New York that we're open to change. Obviously, this is a very potentially controversial thing to even think about, no less to talk about. But at some point, you have to, you know, look seriously at whether the programming is really working. And one of the projects that's underway is to come up with what are the best programs at Pacifica from the standpoint of the individual stations that have performed well, that have built audience, that have appeal across the network potentially. There are programs like Hard Knock Radio in Berkeley, for example, that could conceivably play very well in New York. And so I don't think this is a long-term solution, but I do think that that the grid is part of the equation. Another thing I mentioned earlier was, you know, things like taking a stand on issues. You know, if Pacifica and WBAI can draw attention to themselves for taking a principled stand on issues, whether they're issues of obscenity or on, you know, special programming on immigration or Mumia Abu-Jamal, and promote that fact, and that may begin to draw listeners back and remind them of why Pacifica is important. But I think programming change cannot be avoided at some point.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, time's up.
Thank you very much. Last person on the stack is Rob, and Rob, could you make it a little short and sweet?
I'm on the line, just for Mary, so she'll know that I'm on.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, there is a relationship between audience and programming and revenue, and one of the things that we learned last year, Greg provided the programming committee with what the local stations felt their programming goals were. None of the programming goals that were provided to us by the local stations dealt with audience or with the problems of revenue. And one of the concerns I have is that as long as the local stations and the network don't have any goals for audience growth or for revenue, I want to ask Lonnie, how are we going to change the problem?
In terms of,
I mean, I realize we don't want to talk about the problem, but how are we going to change the negative trend that we have if we don't begin establishing goals for the performance, or, you know, for audience growth and for revenue?
Well,
I think there are two or three things we can and should do. One is establish baseline, what programs are performing, and at what level, drawing what revenue. I still think we need to do that. That way we have a sense of where we stand now. Second thing is to evaluate programs, I do believe. And I think Greg is absolutely right. Programming is a part of the equation. Also part of the equation is to start thinking revenue, and that's why the annual fundraiser rotating among the stations as they celebrate their anniversaries is an idea I'm working on now. I think that is viable. It does draw... if you do it on a national basis, that is to say all stations participate and have a national broadcast with named people coming in, local people, I think that will draw attention to Pacifica, especially major donors. And that will be helpful. WPFW will be testing that theory and see how well it actually implements. But right now,
so you don't think we need to set goals for audience or revenue?
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Margaret, is it time to get on the stack? No?
Well, make it short. Go ahead. You're the only one.
Is it my turn now?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with, you know, with much of what has been said about programming and just how people are looking at Pacifica, you know, generally. And I know we have toyed around, at least I've heard the ideas before, about looking at kind of the best of, in a way, you know, of local stations and local programmers and having them get a bit more exposure. We have found at KPFK, for example, I mean, nobody would deny that Democracy Now! Is a fantastic program. I'm a great fan of Democracy Now! And of Amy's work. I think she does, you know, wonderful work. But we have found that in our drive over the years that the revenue coming in from Democracy Now! Has actually fallen. Now, we can't say that that has to do with the content or the program because, I mean, she has a large budget and puts forward a very, very tight program. But we have found that some of our local programmers, including myself, actually, but I think some others, during the drive, the shows actually bring in more than Democracy Now! Does at this point. So I think that that tells us something else. I think that that also begs for us to really look at the national programming and see what could be done and if anything could even be done on a rotating basis so that we have other programs that are kind of nationally identified with Pacifica in addition to, you know, not instead of, but in addition to, and that it be done in a way of some kind of rotation or whatever to give as much exposure as possible so that people know that there are other voices out there and there's some other program formats and program types that people identify, you know, people very much now identify Democracy Now! With Pacifica, and rightly so. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. And also for the programs, KPFA and BAI, I think it's a good idea for all of us to be supportive of each other's fund drives. So, and I know that efforts have been made on that, so that if we have found, if KPFA have found some things that are successful or KPFK has found things that are successful, that we really share them, you know, with each other, even, you know, exchanging producer information or sometimes co-pitching with each other or whatever could help us because we're all basically on the same ship, so to speak. You know, rather than seeing it, you know, as separate, you know, one station doing better than the other, et cetera. But what can we all do, you know, to help to uplift the other? That's
thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And you're welcome. And that will lead us, I think, Rob Robinson is double-dipping into other sections. So, Rob, it's your programming committee recommendations on FCC, indecency, policy issues. And next 10 minutes, and
well,
go ahead.
It really won't take 10 minutes. We were given a charge by the PNB, and I believe everyone got, I'm sure everyone got the copy of our statement to you, Sarv. Basically, we see some significant areas where the policy can be tightened up, but it's currently in place right now, so we would like to set about making some recommendations on how the policy can be made a little bit tighter without doing violence to what's basically there.
So, just for my own information, so right now the policy that you are suggesting is still under
the current policy is in place right now, and
okay.
We were asked to comment on it, and our comments are that there clearly are some areas where the policy seems draconian, for example, in the way penalties are assessed. It's left up to the local stations to set disciplinary actions. But on the other hand, penalties are described in the document. So there are a number of areas where it's inconsistent. The network programming coordinator is fundamentally given the responsibility for reporting on this system, and that isn't really the job of the network programming coordinator. If there's going to be any implementation if there's going to be an enforcement of the policy, it's going to have to come from the local station staff. So while we don't disagree with the direction of the policy, there are some areas where it needs to be tightened up, and we're going to do that and make recommendations back to the PNB as quickly as possible. We agree that the most important thing, as we said, is to protect the license of Pacifica. No one is in disagreement with the notion that we need to protect our licenses, even in the face of these vague and contradictory regulations. On the other hand, we see a number of things in this policy that can be made more clear and emphatic without simply being draconian.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? No questions?
This is
so
Bob.
Thank you very much.
Go
ahead,
Bob.
Bob and Ray.
Go
ahead, Bob.
I actually don't have a question. I just have a comment. I appreciate the work that the committee is doing on this issue. And in the wake of the appeals court ruling, which definitely put the FCC on the defensive as they deserve to be for this totally arbitrary and inconsistent policy, this is really the moment for us to act, to raise our voice against what they're doing. And, of course, the court explicitly ordered them to reconsider the policy. So I would just encourage the committee to really look towards activating the motion that the board passed in March about at the appropriate time making a public statement on the record as to what we think FCC policy should be and what the damaging effects of its current policy and past policies have been. And to, as you're doing, as the committee I know is already trying to reach out to programmers and managers on the internal policy, to also include in that outreach ideas for what sort of public statement we want to make and press release to really, you know, heighten the public debate on these issues.
All right.
Thanks.
Ray?
Thanks.
Yes, actually, Bob raised part of what I wanted to discuss, and my statement of question is around the same line, looking at the New York Times, the reporting on the court's decision and listing ABC, NBC, SBS, and Fox. And I guess you could argue that we have the most to gain from this situation because those fines would bankrupt us way before they would do them. So, and maybe this question would be for the executive director, but can you look into the modalities of us playing, I don't know if Bob implied or said that earlier, playing a more active role in the next phase of this, including, if possible, and maybe Dan can comment on that, an amicus brief or any other position that we could take that would strengthen this, and of course, educate our people about that issue.
As I mentioned in my report, John Kriegler said that the FCC may actually consider revisions to its own policy, and certainly if that occurs, we should be involved in that. We could sort of anticipate that and to begin to develop our comments now. He's also willing to, now take a look at the internal policy, as you call it, and see what, we might change, as well as we have now the program directors and managers involved in setting up their own committee to review it, which I've actually encouraged them to do. And then I suggested to you that we explore possible programming options which take a stand by airing programs that have artistic or cultural political merit, such as Ulysses, but I'm sure that there are others, that could make a symbolic statement. So these are some of the strategies, and I think that there's going to be a lot of discussion internally, and certainly John Kriegler can help us and is eager to do that now, and I would work with the board or the programming committee in developing some sort of a position statement in order that we could anticipate, either releasing now or holding for the appropriate moment.
Can I respond? Can the chair of the committee add anything to this?
The two things, both to Ray and Bob. One is we're going to try to reach out to organizations like the NFCB and Prometheus Project and other media advocacy groups. We know that there's some suits out there, but one of the things, it's not clear what Pacifica is doing to lead as part of the media advocacy non-commercial radio group to raise complaints about the way the FCC is using these regulations to repress free speech. That's one thing. The second thing is we haven't been able to get program directors and staff to respond to us. So one of the things we're going to try to do also is propose directly to some of the local station staff. And, of course, we won't be doing this without the knowledge of Greg and the network programming coordinator. But we're going to go directly to some of the stations and say, don't you think we could do better programming to raise awareness of the public of the traditions of free speech in broadcasting, and to basically shine a light on what's going on here, maybe to remind our listeners of what Pacifica's history has been, because we've engaged in a lot of the showcase legal actions around broadcasting. So I think part of the problem is we've been dumb on the issue so far, and we don't think that that's helped the FCC, take a more responsible position. But we also don't think it's enabled us to lead anybody in the non-commercial movement to really talk intelligently about this issue and what's at stake to our listeners.
You have my full support.
On the staff?
Thank you. Yes, Lisa.
I just wanted to also add to what the chair was saying. One of the things that we kicked around, if my memory is correctly, is that there are ways that people can, or that we can directly engage the FCC. Not everything necessarily has to be court, but to certainly make sure, because we do have the right, everybody has the right to approach the FCC and to say, this is what we want. People have the right to request hearings and things of that nature. So that's one of the things that we also talked about, various ways to, but of course within the guideline, from, the attorney and of course the rest of the board, but that was one of the things that we discussed. And also discuss in terms of trying to help remind, send personal one-on-one reminders, in other words, person to the program directors and finding them the importance of them.
Thank you very much, Lisa. And that exhausts our list here. And, thank you very much, Rob, for your nice report. The next is Elections Committee report. 10 minutes.
Okay. This is Lydia. We have a motion from the Elections Committee, and I will read it and then I will motivate it, that the PMB authorize the National Election Supervisor to hire local election supervisors beginning in June. And Casey Peters, the National Election Supervisor, met with the Elections Committee, made a very strong, compelling case for the early hire. Normally they're hired by July 15th. This would be, the financial impact would be, I believe, $2,200 per station. And first of all, as we discovered last year, there was a great need to update the lists at all of the stations, and in terms of the mailing list and so forth, helped to make them accurate. And it actually took our national election supervisor, I believe, at KPFA, who personally saw to it, and there was a whole campaign to call folks and get those lists updated. So last year they were in better shape than some of the rest of the stations. But this is critical. Many of us, or some of the stations, came very close to not making quorum. And it is Casey's belief, and we agreed as a committee, that it was imperative that the assistance come a little bit earlier this year, and that it would ultimately probably help pay for itself, because if your list, to which you also send other appeals, are more accurate, then you're not going to be wasting money in those appeals, per station. And that, and also we have, I know from station to station, determined that when the more people respond to the elections with their ballots, we tend to raise money during that. A lot of folks stick in a check in there, because there's usually an appeal that accompanies them. And this year, it will be accompanied by a bylaws change, we believe, as well. The mailing would be, that is. And so the committee strongly urges the PMB to authorize this. And I believe, and Laverne was also aware that she's on the committee, and she and Greg can comment on the feasibility and the financial impact.
Thank you. Anyone has any questions?
Yeah, Laverne.
Go ahead, Laverne.
Thank you. As Lydia had said, we had a finance committee meeting last night, and we got a copy of the motion yesterday evening. It was sent over by the secretary, so we did have an opportunity to discuss it at the meeting. And I guess, as I said earlier when I'd spoken, Lonnie's action was to look at the cost, and I believe that there is a varying opinion in terms of what the cost will be. So
we're seeing anywhere from about 4,500 to maybe 10,000. It depends on per station. So that's to be determined. But the reasoning for this is that, you know, been on the elections committee over the last, 3 or 4 years and on finance, it's really good to see that we have an election supervisor. And this has evolved over time, being able to ask and request this and to get this done. So I think that, you know, it's a decision by our ED to do that, and that the CFO will just determine where we can find the additional funds and what the trade-off will be in terms of savings on postage and return mail.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I'll just add a little bit. Casey has begun to poll the GMs as to what they think about this, and we've heard already back from Ron in, at WPFW that he's very supportive of it. They don't have there won't be any financial impact there because they underspent on their elections in the previous election, and that's also true in New York. And so, in terms of authorized budget, there are sufficient funds in those budgets as passed. At the other three stations, they overspent somewhat, and so we do have to, you know, make a minor adjustment. But as Lonnie will tell you, this is not a major problem. And so really it's a question of the board authorizing this earlier hire, and then the financial part of it can be worked out on an individual station basis. Lonnie could comment further on that.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the stations are adequately budgeted, two of them. There will be no financial impact whatsoever, and they can afford it. Two stations can move funds around. They have some monies, but not enough. And the cost for 1 month would be $2,200. If it were 2 months, it would be $4,400. And I believe that, you know, in the existing guidelines that we have, finding funds for one line item and moving them over to cover the additional expense here would not be a problem for most stations, the stations that are involved. So my view is that there are funds for it, and that it should not be a financial hardship for any station at this point. So.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Yes, if I may, can I speak?
Go ahead, Thomas.
Okay. First of all, with regard to the proposal of moving, giving more time for the election staff to monitor, to conduct the elections, I think that's a good idea. And I remember at the Houston board meeting that was recommended by Mr. Radke, and he seemed to have said that he had been urging that upon the board for some time. I think that LaVon's point about the extra expenditure, that's a valid concern. But I think over the long term, we can actually save money, not so much by enlarging the time for these people to work, but by amending the bylaws so that our elections take place every other year rather than 2 years out of every three. And I think that by doing that and perhaps enlarging the term for the national board, but certainly by having the Pacifica local station board elections every other year, we could certainly save money and we could make more orderly the installation of members and give people two, in other words, having elections every other year would be much more consistent than 2 years in a row, then an off year, then 2 years in a row, then an off year. As for what's happened at WPFW and WBAI with regard to some money being available, I don't know about WBAI, but I can say at WPFW, we did not spend enough money at the last election, nor did we spend enough money at the prior election. And as a result, while we may have saved money from what was budgeted, our election at WPFW in the last cycle was terribly managed, and it was not necessarily the fault of the local election supervisor. We didn't have it properly budgeted. We didn't have enough money budgeted, and we didn't have enough backup support for the election supervisor. So that was a terrible experience that we probably could have avoided if we had set enough money aside and planned based on our experience for a good election. So I would suggest that we draw from what WPFW learned during its first election from the first local election supervisor, and that is that
Pacifica and the local station boards probably are not putting aside enough money to effectively conduct these elections. At least that's the case at WPFW. Thank you very much.
Thank you.